I would ask you once again, brethren, to open your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. I'll begin the reading at verse 9, Matthew chapter 12. And he, that is Jesus, departed from there and went into their synagogue. And behold, a man having a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? That they might accuse him. And he said to them, What man shall there be of you that shall have one sheep? And if this fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man of more value than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath day. Then he said to the man, Stretch forth your hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole as the other. But the Pharisees went out and took counsel against him, how they might destroy him. And Jesus, perceiving it, withdrew from there, and many followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall declare judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry aloud, neither shall anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment to victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles hope. Well, let us once again ask that as we've sang about this holy book, that this portion of God's word will be owned by God's Spirit to guide us, to instruct us, to comfort us, that the Lord will be gracious to draw near to us. Let us pray. Our Father, we come before you this evening. And again, we have gathered together in the name of Jesus. And like those Greeks of old, we say we would see Jesus tonight. We do ask that you would come to us and help us as we consider what you have revealed about your Son in the Scriptures, that we may behold him in his glory, that we may draw near to him, that we may draw forth the comfort and the strength to enable us to go on living the Christian life. Lord, you know the condition of every one of us here this evening. And so we ask that you would draw near and assist us and strengthen us by your grace. And we pray and ask for these mercies. In your name we pray. Amen. Our primary focus this evening will be centered around the words found in verse 20. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench. Discouragement, failure, disappointment, a wounded spirit, a weak and weary body, a weary mind, a conscience laden with guilt, a broken heart, an attitude that we're ready to quit and to give up, a sense of hopelessness. These are things that are common to the sons of men. They are common to us. Even as I listed these items, I'm sure there are certain things that have gone through your mind. And these words that are comforting words, that are encouraging words, and my desire and goal is to be a Barnabas, a son of consolation, to bring forth to you the balm, as it were, of Gilead. And here we see these words of our Lord Jesus Christ, a bruised reed, or words about Christ, a bruised reed he shall not break, nor smoking flax shall he quench. Some of the things that often brings us discouragement as Christians can be our spiritual state. We may find that sin seems to get the upper hand, and it seems to do so too consistently. And we come to church and we hear a sermon and we feel the conviction of the word of God, and we look into the mirror and we say, well, what kind of a Christian man am I? What kind of a Christian woman am I? We can often feel discouraged and feel trapped by our failure and these besetting sins. And at times it seems that there's no way out. Or it seems as though, will I ever get my act together? I've been at this for years, and it seems I just can't overcome certain areas in my life. Well, I have a word, I trust, of encouragement for you, as well as for myself. And these metaphors are used to describe such people. The metaphor of the bruised reed and the metaphor of the smoking flax. Even hearing these metaphors, I think in your mind you can immediately draw some sense of comparison and say, you know, I can relate to that description. Although I don't fully understand what that means, but it seems to speak to me to some extent. And I want us to consider these metaphors more closely. These metaphors, they describe those who are weak and discouraged. Charles Spurgeon preached on this sermon, and he said that these metaphors describe a backslidden Christian, or one who is under conviction of sin. And I think these metaphors can be broadly applied, and I don't think we need to narrow it down so specific, but whether we're under conviction of sin or whether we're in a backslidden state, it's not a happy place to be. And as a result, whether that's the cause, the effect is that we are often find ourselves weak and discouraged. A bruised reed. This term reed describes a dried stalk of tall plants, often growing in wetlands. And this material is used to make a measuring stick. Some of it is made to a writing utensil. And so a reed, it grows up like a blade of grass, if you will, but it's a stronger type material. And a bruised reed is one that is bent. Like maybe you ladies, you're growing plants in the home and you see some of the leaves are growing up or some of the blades, and they get bent like that. And you wonder if it's going to live. And sometimes the temptation is just to snap that bent blade so it can grow into a more stronger blade. And so that is what's meant by a bruised reed, something that is bent over. Now, the parallel of this picture of a bruised reed, I believe, from the scripture suggests a person who is discouraged, crushed, or broken in spirit, Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 15. Let's look at some pictures of a bruised reed. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs 15, verse 13, a glad heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of heart, the spirit is broken. You know what it is to have a broken spirit? The state of one's heart is often reflected on their countenance, and it's a glad heart. You're feeling good inside, and that feeling is reflective upon the countenance. Happy, smiling, laughing. There's happiness. You see it on a person's face. And it works the other way around as well. By sorrow of heart, the spirit is broken. A broken heart is also reflected upon the countenance. A long face. A head perhaps bowed down. No smile, and you say, hey, what's wrong? What's on your mind? You see it reflected in the person. So this bruised reed is something that is happens from within and is reflected on the outside. So here we have a picture of a person who is a bruised reed with a broken spirit. Perhaps there's a disappointment in your children or in a relationship with husband and wife, or even within the church among brethren, or even among in your job, your performance, and you feel broken and inside. And so you have nothing to smile about. You're a bruised reed. Turn to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18, verse 14, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a broken spirit, who can bear? People may find themselves in a weakened condition, whether it's sickness, and some people are resilient in their hearts. You may look at a person and say, I don't know how you can handle that. I don't know how you can endure such things, and they are resilient in their spirit. As Paul says, the outward man decay, but the inner man is renewed day by day. So outwardly, you can look at the Apostle Paul. Here's a man who's been beaten, chased down, persecuted, but yet in his spirit, he is renewed day by day. And so that even while he is in prison, as we read in the book of Philippians, he tells his readers, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. And he says that Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Again, that's an example where Paul is being sustained in his inner man. And it is by the grace of God, of course. But what happens when that inner man, there's no strength within? And this is what we read in this proverb, but a broken spirit, who can bear? When the spirit is broken, there is nothing. There is nothing but weakness. There is no strength. There is no motivation. There's no desire to move forward, to advance another step, because the spirit within you is broken. There's no motivation. There is discouragement, and you're weighed down. And this is what this word is referring to, a bruised reed. As a person where that stalk is bent, and you can do one of two things. You can just break it and discard it, or you can straighten it up and strengthen it. And so that's one of the metaphors. The other metaphor that we see here is a smoking flax. A smoking flax. This is the material that is used in lamps. And also this material is used to make garments. You know what a lamp is? When you have that little wick at the bottom and you turn the little little wheel, and then that little wick is a cloth-like material, and it rises up and it goes down. Well, that's the flax. That's the wick. That's what we're talking about here. And what happens when that thing starts to glimmer and gets very weak? It goes dim, right? And you're wondering if the light is going to go out. It's flickering. And you say, you know what? I think this is about to go out. And so the temptation is to blow it out. And here, this word is used to describe Isaac. In the Greek translation of the Old Testament, in Genesis 27:1, it talks about how Isaac's eyes was dim. You remember how Isaac, he loved Esau, and his wife loved Jacob. When Isaac was an old man, his eyes began to grow dim. That is, he was losing his sight. And he could not see clearly. This term points to the condition of a person growing weak and growing faint. It's as if a person is about to pass out or black out. You ever have that feeling? Perhaps sometimes even in church, right? We're trying to stay awake, or if we're driving behind the wheel and there's a moment of blackness and it's a split second and it scares you, right? And so this term is that it's almost we're about to pass out. The lights are about to grow out. It grows dim. And so this is the description of a Christian in a weakened state. And both of these metaphors are used to describe such. But what is said about our Lord is that a bruised reed, he won't break. And a smoking flax, he won't quench. But go back with me to Matthew chapter 12. There's some other things we want to look at in this passage here. Back to Matthew 12. The setting here is that Jesus was in the synagogue. And he healed this man with a withered hand. This is why I read the context here. It was on the Sabbath day. And how the Pharisees were enraged in verse 14, and they took counsel how they might destroy him. And Jesus perceived it and withdrew and hid himself. And then we read verse 17, he charged people that they should not make him known. Verse 17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall declare judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry aloud, neither shall anyone hear his voice in the streets. And there's our text, a bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment to victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles hope. And so these words is a quotation from Isaiah, and this is a fulfillment of prophecy, as Matthew writes. What Jesus did on this occasion was a fulfillment of these words from Isaiah the prophet. Jesus did not go toe-to-toe, and he did not start a revolution with violence and weapons. Remember when Jesus said on another occasion when he stood before Pilate, Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world, or else my servants would fight. If he had an earthly kingdom, then the disciples would be armed with weapons of warfare, and he would be like David fighting carnal war, that is material war, physical war. But here on this occasion, he withdraws himself. He heals the multitudes. He does not seek to fight openly with the Pharisees. Not that he's afraid, but these words, now we come to the second point, these words that are read here, verses 18 and following, this prophecy from Isaiah, these words describe the ministry and character of the Lord Jesus Christ. These words of prophecy that were fulfilled at this occasion is describing the ministry and character of the Lord Jesus. And what it describes in Jesus, it describes his meekness. It describes his patience and tender mercies to the needy. Jesus showed compassion to this man with a withered hand. Jesus showed compassion to the masses who were suffering and were weak. And yet Jesus showed patience and meekness in not striving against the Pharisees in open warfare, if you will. Look at the words here. Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall declare judgment to the Gentiles. He shall declare judgment to the Gentiles. Now, these words here, declaring judgment, it's not speaking of the coming of the day of judgment. But what these words refer to is that he will declare that which is righteous. In other words, he will set the standard for what is true and just. He will set the standard for justice. In other words, he will show us righteousness. And as we live in this world, we crave for that which is righteous, that which is in accord with justice. That's why political campaigns become a very heated and hot issue, because people believe that, no, this candidate stands for what is right, and it is right whether the issue, and we know the issues of our day, I don't need to enumerate them, but these issues that are being in the political arena, people get very worked up about these things. And so here was an incident of this man with a withered hand. And they asked the question, is it lawful? Well, Jesus asked them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? And so they asked him, is it lawful to heal? But then Jesus turned it around. And this occasion, Jesus is seeking to establish justice and what is right. And so he speaks about the sheep falling into the ditch. People were not sure, was it right to heal this man or not? And what Jesus did on this occasion, he set the matter straight. He established what was righteous in this circumstance, and it was good and it was righteous to heal on the Sabbath. And there was clarity given to the fourth commandment in the face of the rage and the malice of the Pharisees. And as a result, they wanted to kill him. Christ is the truth. You remember what Jesus says? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Pilate said, what is truth? People in our day say, I'm not going to vote. I don't believe any candidate. I don't believe anything I hear. I'm an agnostic. I don't believe anything. Where is truth? The pessimist, the agnostic. Well, Christ has come. He has come to set the standard for what is just. And if you want to know the truth, you must go to Jesus. You must observe Jesus, his life, his character. And this is what Isaiah prophesied regarding the servant of Jehovah. When he come, he shall declare judgment, that is justice, the standard of what is right and wrong. He shall declare that to the Gentiles. And little did Pilate know that the very truth was right before him when he asked that question, what is truth? And so it shows his ministry. His ministry is that he will bring justice to the world. But what about his character? I mentioned some things about it. Look at what the prophecy goes on to say. Verse 19, he shall not strive nor cry aloud. Neither shall anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall not strive, nor cry aloud, nor anyone hear his voice in the streets. And what did Jesus tell the masses? Look at verse 15. And Jesus, perceiving it, withdrew from there, and many followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known. Jesus wasn't seeking to get a name for himself. Although he is the Lord of glory, and man didn't recognize him for who he truly was, yet it was not his mission to go out and draw forth this mass following and overthrow the Romans, overthrow the Sanhedrin. He will not strive nor cry aloud, neither shall anyone hear his voice in the streets. This is a picture of meekness. Remember on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, blessed are the meek. How is that illustrated? If anyone slap you on the right cheek, turn to him the other. Jesus was not about an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's not how he dealt with his enemies. He said, love your enemies. Do good to them. Pray for them. And see, Jesus is exemplifying these very things. This is his character. He will not be harsh, but he will be meek and patient and merciful to the needy. Even when he pronounced the woes to the Pharisee, woe to you, Pharisee and scribes, hypocrites, he was declaring truth. There was nothing malicious in his words. There was nothing sinful in his words that he spoke. But here we see in his character, and as he is presented with the bruised reed and the smoking flax, I can think of another bruised reed, one we considered this morning, that woman that came into Simon's house, right? She was a bruised reed. Oh, yes, she was forgiven for her sins. She had known the forgiveness of God, yes, but she was still overcome with the guilt and shame of her sin, and it broke her heart still. And Jesus spoke those words of comfort, your sins are forgiven you. Go in peace. And so these words, the bruised reed, he will not break. As you sit here, maybe some of you are struggling. Maybe some of you are having difficulty in the Christian life. And you have those besetting sins. You can't seem to get a handle on your temper. Or you can't seem to get a control of your sinful desires within you. Or the words that come out of your mouth. Or always being so insecure and jealous and envious, and you know these things are wrong, and it burdens you, and you wish it would go away, but it's always there, and it grieves you, and it breaks your heart, and you cry out to God for help, and it seems as though you're not making any progress. Well, listen to these words. A bruised reed he shall not break, nor smoking flax will he quench. You know, salvation is all of grace. Did you know that? Did you know we were not saved because we were good people? We were saved because we were bad people. And as we walk the Christian life, the blessings of God that we enjoy, yes, God does reward those. He's honored those that honor him. But it is salvation from grace from the beginning, in the middle, and all the way to the end. So when we're preoccupied with our failures and our weaknesses, I'm not saying we should ignore them, but what I'm saying, brethren, we should not despair. Jesus has not changed. Jesus will not break you. Jesus will not quench you, the smoking flat, you're weak, you feel like you're losing your spiritual strength, and you're wondering if you can go on another day, and you think, I don't know if I'm going to make it. The Lord Jesus will not leave you He will not allow the lamp of his grace to go out within you. Let us consider thoroughly in terms of closing application. I've said some things already, but the question is, to whom does these words apply? The bruised reed and the smoking flax, to whom does these words apply? First of all, I'll say in a negative way, these words do not apply to the stubborn and to the proud. As Jesus says, woe to you scribes, hypocrites. In James 4:6, it says, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And by the proud, I'm meaning people who are persisting in their sin. Not the humble child of God who is struggling and who is grieved. In the language of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7, the good that I would, I do not. But the evil that I hate, I find myself doing. I find in another tendency in me that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And then Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Now, that's the struggling Christian. But the proud person is not struggling. The proud person sees what the word of God says, and the proud person says, I'm not doing that. The proud person sees the word of God and says, I don't agree with that. The proud person says, that doesn't apply to me. The proud person can't even see their sin. And it is the proud that God resists, the stubborn and proud. So these words do not apply to such. Even the rich young ruler, you remember that nice young man who went to Jesus and he kneeled and he said, good master or teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Very respectful, right? You say, well, what was wrong with that? Jesus put his finger on the man's sin. And what did he do? He went away sorrowful. Now, was he a bruised reed? Not in this sense. He went away sorrowful, for he had much possessions. Did Jesus go running after him? Did Jesus put his arm around his shoulder and say, look, you know, don't take what I said too seriously? Did Jesus run after the man to encourage him? No. This man refused to give up his sin. So it's not talking about people like that. He was sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He had no intentions of giving up his love for his money. He would rather walk away from Jesus than walk away from his money. No, the words do not apply to such. But these words apply to the humble. To the humble. Remember Jesus' words on the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit. He said, blessed. Happy are the poor in spirit. You know what a poor in spirit, know what that means? A person who is deflated. The proud in spirit is a person who's inflated and they are full of themselves. But the poor in spirit is bankrupt spiritually. And they see that they are lacking, like the publican who smote his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. The poor in spirit has nothing to boast about, has nothing to brag about in the sight of God. And Jesus said, blessed are such, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But not only those who are weighed down because of their sin, but also those who may be perhaps exhausted. You know, we can burn ourselves out. We can push ourselves and push ourselves and push ourselves to the point of exhaustion. And it can have spiritual consequences. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. Here's another example of a bruised reed and a smoking flax. 1 Kings 19, Elijah the prophet. You'll say, I don't remember him being a bruised reed. He's a fiery prophet of Jehovah. He would talk to kings and rebuke them in their face. He's the one that called fire down from heaven. He was the one at Mount Carmel where there was a great contest between the prophets of Baal and one prophet, Elijah. And he won the contest and he slew the prophets of Baal. You mean Elijah? Yes, Elijah. After he had this great contest there at Mount Carmel, notice what we read. Chapter 19, verse 1 of 1 Kings. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. In other words, she says, I'm going to get you, Elijah. What you did to them, I'm going to do the same to you. Verse 3. And when he saw it, he arose and went for his life. The man was burnt out. He ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die. And said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than any than my fathers. Notice the condition of this man. You say, well, how could he be in such a state of mind? I mean, he prayed to the Lord. The fire came down and it licked up the water around the offering. It consumed the offering with fire. And then he went and he slain the prophets of Baal. He did all of this, and he would say, I am Elijah, when he would speak, and he says, he stood before the presence of Jehovah, before whom I stand. And he was a bold, fiery preacher, a prophet. And now he's running for his life. Now he's sitting under a juniper tree. Now he's saying, oh, Lord, take my life. I can't go on any longer. It is enough. I am no better than my fathers. He was a bruised reed. He was a bruised reed. He was a smoking flax. And what did God do? What did God do to the prophet? We read on. Verse 5. And he lay down and slept under the juniper tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water. And he did eat and drink and laid down again. And the angel of Jehovah came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. And he arose and did eat and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Notice what God did. He feeds him. God doesn't rebuke him. What is he doing? It's like that bent blade. He erects that bent blade, or that smoking flax that's about to go up. He's nurturing the flame, and he's nurturing that with more oil and a little bit more wick. And he wants to nourish that flame so it doesn't go out. And what does the Lord do? He puts him to sleep. He feeds them. He puts them asleep again, and he feeds them. And God knows exactly what the prophet needed. And then notice verse 9. And he came there unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of Jehovah came to him and said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for Jehovah, the God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and slain your prophets with the sword. And I, even I, am only left, and they seek to take away my life also. That's the problem he's facing. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before Jehovah. And then we'll read on. And I won't read the rest of it, because it speaks about how God speaks to him in a still voice, not in an earthquake, not in the thunder, not in the wind, but in a still voice. And here Elijah illustrates for us, we can be discouraged about the state of the church. We can be discouraged about the American culture and the witness of the church in these days and how so much worldliness is coming in to blur the distinctions between the people of God and the people of the world, and people falling away and falling into sin, and we're preaching and we've been laboring and praying over the years. And these things can weigh down on us and we can get discouraged like Elijah. What's the use of coming to prayer meeting? Nothing is changing in the world. What's the use? People are still getting sick. Things are still happening. Where is the kingdom of God advancing? And we can look at these things and we can get very discouraged. There's a number of other things that can discourage us and weigh us down. But Jesus and Jehovah, the Father and the Spirit, is one God. And how God dealt with Elijah the prophet is true of the Lord Jesus, as was prophesied about him. The bruised reed he will not break, and the smoking flax he will not quench. Remember blind Bartimaeus. I'm just giving you some examples of a bruised reed and the smoking flax. Remember that blind man in Mark chapter 10? He said, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Right? And people told him to be quiet. And then he cried out a great deal, "Son of David." That man was he was crying out of the depth of his need. He was suffering from this blindness, and he was discouraged and weighed down. And he heard that the Son of David was nearby, and people rebuked him. He was getting no support, no encouragement, and he fought through all of that. And Jesus stopped. Jesus turned around. He sent for the man. And he healed him. He relieved his misery. What about Peter after he denied the Lord Jesus three times? And when Peter, after the third denial, he heard the rooster crow and he wept bitterly. Can you imagine what Peter felt like? Have you ever felt that way with your sin? Have you ever wept bitterly with such great regret and shame for what you've done? Peter was a bruised reed at that point. And what did Jesus do? He restored Peter. He didn't cast him off. He didn't say, "You're not worthy." It's true, none of them were worthy to be his disciples. But he did not reject them and cast them off. And we read in John chapter 21, the Gospel of John, how Jesus restores Peter three times. He asked him, "Do you love me more than these?" Jesus was being gracious, but he was dealing with the issue in his heart. Remember the publican, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." Here we see these examples throughout the scriptures and how Jesus is gracious and merciful to those who are broken. Are you broken tonight because of your sin? Are you broken because of your sin and your weakness? Are you ashamed of yourself? Then I urge you, brothers and sisters, go to the Lord Jesus. Remember his words in Matthew 11. He says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." And he says, "For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." He says, "I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest to your souls." A bruised reed. Remember, we have an adversary, and the devil, he is the accuser of the brethren. And if he can make you dysfunctional and not useful as a Christian, he will do everything in his power to make you, if he can't destroy you, he will do everything he can to make you useless in the kingdom. But when you're at that low point, do not despair. I want you to remember these words of our Lord Jesus Christ, is that a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. Jesus will nurture you. Jesus will strengthen you. All you must do is you must go to him. We must, and I'm speaking to you as believers, we must go to him. We must confess and repent, just as we did when we began this Christian life. We must continue to go to him, confess our sins, to forsake our sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. There is hope for us, brethren, because God has purposed that he will make us into the image of his Son. He that began a good work in you will perfect it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He will not abandon you. He will not, I don't care how you feel, he will not abandon you. He will not forsake you. Remember, a bruised reed he shall not break, and a smoking flax he shall not quench. Well, may the Lord be pleased, brethren, to cause these words to ring in your ears, to resonate in your souls, and to encourage you as you live the Christian life. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you again for your word, and we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you that we have such a merciful high priest. We have such a gracious Savior that not one of his people will be lost. And as he was concerned for the man with the withered hand and for those who were laden down with physical sickness and weaknesses, Lord, you haven't changed. Help us as your people to believe you. Help us as your people to trust you. Help us to come to you with our sins and our failures. Help us to confess all the things that are wrong with us. And help us to seek you for your grace and your strength to nurture us, to strengthen us, to make us more useful than we are. To help us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We do thank you that salvation is indeed all of grace. And we thank you, Lord, that we can come and bring our case to you. And we can present our cause, and that we can rest in you and look to you for the grace and strength to go on living in your name. Our Father, we pray that you would help us to arm ourselves with your truth, that we would resist the devil, and that we would know the grace of God given to the humble. Thank you again for this time to consider your word and to reflect upon our Savior. We pray for those who have not come to know you, that they would remember that you are a gracious Savior and you delight to receive sinners. We pray and ask these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen.